you for braving the weather up there. I am by nature, I just teach children's lessons. It's just what I do, you know? So in all of my speaking that the Lord has given me opportunity to do, whether that's in jail or whether it's been in the missions or whether it's sometimes traveling around the world and sometimes around the country and speaking before, sometimes a great number of usually youth or men in jail or children, I have rarely been as nervous as I am tonight. So, and just in processing it all, I'm really, I don't know if you know the gift that you have, and that is men and women who are studied in the Word of God and know the Word of God. I know very few groups in my Christian journeys, in my Christian life, and all the denominations that I've had great fellowship with, and each have their strengths, and each have their good things, and each have their weaknesses. The strength here is brothers and sisters who know their Bible. And that's scary, you know? Like, it's a real awakening, you know, to me. So, and it's like, come before you, not as at all as one who has experience. I mean, my oldest is 12. And there are so many of you here that have raised 12-year-old grandchildren. And how do I know the way? I don't know the way. And so I just come here, and we're going to ask the Lord, who causes dumb donkeys to talk, and we're going to ask him that he would open up and show us marvelous things in his word. And he would do that through a stammering person like myself. Can we agree together to ask the Lord for that tonight? Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. And we're so grateful for the words of life that you have, the word of life that you are. Lord, that you have breathed into us and made a new creature. And you, so many more things that you want to create in us and work in us. And Lord, I ask you that you would speak to us by your word. You would do that, Lord, tonight. I ask you, Lord, that you let my words just fall to the ground, but your words, Lord, they would go forth. And Lord, they would bring forth fruit 100-fold. I'm just depending on you to do that. I'm trusting you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you check your mic? I'm not sure that it's on.
Is it on?
No.
Do I have to yell into the mic? I'm not a very good mic person, at least one that's stationary, because I kind of like to move. So if we could turn in our Bibles to 1 John, 1 John, chapter 1. So I'd like to talk with you tonight about the Word of Life. 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things unto you. That's your sin now. So here we have our brother John, who is writing to us, and he's speaking of the word of life. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And that's what we want to talk about today. And I would like to suggest to you that the Lord Jesus is not the word of life only figuratively. He is the word of life literally. Literally the word of life. And so in the beginning of John's epistle, he says, that which was from the beginning. And I think it's only right that we'll look at the beginning, right? So let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 should be pretty easy to find. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar, but I've talked with some Hebrew scholars, and what I understand about the word God, Elohim, is plural. It's plural for Eloah, which means God. Putting that I am at the end, im, it's plural. But it would be bad for us, wrong for us, to say, in the beginning, gods. Because, first of all, it's bad translation, because the Hebrew language, with verbs and, of course, pronouns, they can also be singular and plural. And always when Elohim is said, the verb is in the singular tense and also the pronoun. So it is bad translation to say, in the beginning, gods, because that's not what it's saying. But then we also have him saying, let us make man in our image. And how does this fit together? Because we believe in one God, right? We'll get to, I know I don't believe in Trinity, but we'll get there, right? So, and then also, it's what's interesting is we have this, it looks like a contradiction in what's called the Shema, right? The Shema. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. It means Shema, hear, Israel, Yahweh, or they would say Adonai when they would speak it, but it's the Tetragrammaton, the name of God. Yahweh Eloheinu is Elohim plural, or new. Elohim, new is our God. Or if you just took it all by itself, without all the context, it would say, our gods, kind of, all right? It's a bad translation, but it is plural and possessive. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God. Yahweh is one. So I had the blessing on the way on a bus ride from Jerusalem to Eilat to sit for hours next to a rabbi. How cool is that? Who gets to do that, you know? And it was wonderful. Now, I don't know if you've talked with many Jews before about the Lord, but they tend to usually kind of get upset. I remember one guy at the airport, I was reading, it was a different time, I was reading my Bible, and I happened to be reading some of the Old Testament, and he sat down next to me. And he's looking at my Bible that I have open, I'm waiting, you know, that ever long wait for the airplane or whatever, and he says, I see you're reading the Old Testament. Yeah, do you have the New Testament? I said, well, I do. Well, you know, we got this discussion. And so you know, it continued on, but he's initiated, and I loved it, and we talked back and forth, but then I started talking about the Lord Jesus, and how the Old Testament pointed so many times to him, and he says, oh, let's talk about something else. All of a sudden, he just got, you know, I don't want to talk about this. Okay, I'm done. Let's talk about the weather. He literally said that. Let's talk about the weather, something like that. I don't take hints very well, and I just kept on going, you know. They literally, like, I kind of thought he was joking, because we had this great, felt like a good back and forth going on, and I was like, oh, you know, and he just kept on going, and he literally got up and walked away. I never saw him again. And I was like, whoa, he was serious, you know. But with this rabbi, it wasn't that way. Well, we were on a bus, so I guess he couldn't. And he was pretty cool. And there were really crazy Americans in the back. They were, you know, he kept us in front. So so we had this question, he's kind of back and forth. And I just thought he needed such a love for him. I think he could sense it. And for his people, and he could feel that. And I asked him questions like, you know, have you counted the days in Daniel 9? You know, the rest of Rabbi that. You know, do you know what the answer is? Well, those days are holy. Because we don't count those days. We don't count the days. And then I was like, aren't you even curious? You know? Because, like, I'm just telling you, it comes right down to the Lord Jesus. And so we had this talk back and forth. And then I asked him, I said, is it true that Elohim is plural? Not singular. And he says, yeah, it's true. It's true. I said, well, why is that? He says, our God is too big for singular. I said, that's great, you know, that's great. I often think about him. I don't remember his name, but I think about him often and pray for him. I don't know. I don't know where he is, but I know the Lord just kind of keeps laying in my heart. So, but we don't have a problem with that, do we? Because we got that last part of the book, right? And we understand that in the last part of the book, there is within one God, there's three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we don't worship three gods. In one sense, we are monotheistic, but yet we understand that within it is three. And so, in fact, it's right there. In, I don't know if you've seen it before, but it's right there in plain sight in the first three verses in Genesis. In the beginning, God created God the Father, verse 1. 2. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God, oops, I'm sorry, that's verse 3. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was over in the face of the water. Of the Father God, the Spirit. And then in verse 3. And God said. And God said. See, God spoke. And everything that we see was made. And you say, well, where's the sun in that? That's the sun. That is the sun. See, God's word, you want to talk about it a little bit. God's word is not like our word. Like what he says, it happens. It has to do with his authority. It has to do with his having all power, right? So when God speaks, like, things happen. So I brought here, for example, a jar. And in the jar is
air. No,
it's supposed to be nothing. The answer is nothing. But yes, you're right. In the jar is air. And there's probably, if you got a microscope and you looked at the inside here, there would be some kind of little amoebas and things crawling around. And even if we got some alcohol swabs and we wiped it all out and killed all those germs, then there would still be dead germs and there would still be, you know, alcohol residue in here. So, but just for the sake of a lesson, let's pretend there's nothing in there. That I could actually clean everything out, vacuum everything out, and there's nothing in that jar. I can do nothing with that. But God made everything with that. Because God is the kind of a God that can speak and say, let nothing become something, and nothing says, yes, sir. It becomes something. That's what he does with us. Those that are not, bring to naught the things that are. We're a bunch of are-nots, aren't we? We're a bunch of nothings. And God uses us in spite of us. That's why I'm standing up here today. So God can speak to nothing and it becomes something. Now, I could tell you This shirt
is red.
No, it's not red. It's like a blue, kind of blue with white stripes, little tiny white stripes and blue stripes, you know. I'm telling a lie. But if God says it's red, either it's going to change red to that color, or it's going to be the new definition of what red is. Because of the authority of God's words. That's why it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. It can't be done. Because whatever he speaks is. It's his nature. We played with our kids, you know, for a while when they were little. I don't know if they remember, but because, you know, I used to joke, you know, wouldn't it be fun, you know, to say, this is blue, you know? Yeah, good job, blue, you know? And mess with their heads, you know? They go and like, you know, completely screwed up. Yeah, no, this is black. Black. What, it's not black, you know? I actually accidentally did it one time. not about the colors. I wasn't really thinking about it. But, you know, we'd be on our little boat, and when the kids were really little, and I don't know why, Dad has to be the one that has to jump in the water first. I'm not sure why that is. No one jumps in the water until Dad jumps in the water. That's to test it out, right? So it's in the springtime, and in the fall time, you know, I would jump in, and it would just be freezing cold, you know? And, but I never said that, because then nobody joined me, right? I would say, and it was being truthful. I say, it's refreshing. It's refreshing, you know? And then, and so the kids, they were little, and they understood, you know, but they, it kind of accidentally got a wrong definition for refreshing. Refreshing itself means to, you know, to make fresh again, it's stimulating, it's, you know, awakening, right? That's kind of the idea, right? Well, to them, it's just cold. So I jump in the next year, I jump in the water, and they go, is it refreshing, Dad? Is it refreshing? You know, is it cold? So I can mess with it. God says, it's refreshing, and it's refreshing. If God says it's cold, it's cold. If God says it's hot, because it's the nature of his word. So it says, so we have this word that went forth and he made everything that is. Things that people worship, bow down to, that are afraid of. Wind and rain and storms, people let over history and made idols to and worship. God spoke it into existence. It's just a word. And then in John chapter 1, no, we actually in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. But in John chapter 1, we find out that that which was not visible, words, became visible. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But, bless the Lord for those buts in there, right? But as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You were born of God. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. even as the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. What a lovely picture. It is not just a picture, you know? It's not just a picture. It's actually a glimpse into what is real. So what of us? Do we hear the word of life when he speaks to us? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, "Behold, I make all things new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And Paul writes to the Galatians, we hear the Creator say, in his yearning, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So once again, the Creator God takes on the Word, becomes flesh. And it is to make in us a new creation. And when we hear, how does the Shema start? Hear. The Jewish people, their creed, their national creed, you know, even though God has hardened their hearts for a time so that we can be grafted in, even though there's a veil over their eyes, the first word in what they call their creed is Shema. Hear. Hear to do. Listen. Hear. Do we hear? The Lord Jesus, he speaks to the disciples, he says, blessed are your ears, for they hear. And so it's with this a new insight that we think about John as he writes this epistle. And he's a Jew, you know. A Jew whose world had been turned upside down by this word become flesh. And he writes there in the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Not only has he heard, but he says, and we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made manifest to God. So, and I think, is it a coincidence that all three of these passages that we talked about today, 1 John chapter 1 and Genesis, did you see the connection between hearing and seeing? I don't know if you saw it or not. 1 John 1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen. Genesis 1, 3. And God said, we're assuming that whatever is said, heard, let there be light, needed for seeing. And there was light. And God saw that he was good. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld. We saw. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. It says in Proverbs. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, that you must take heed how you hear. Pay attention. How you hear. Take care how you hear. For whoever has, you look at the context, whoever has an ear that understands how to hear will be given more. But to him that has not an ear that hears rightly will be taken away even what he has. How do we hear? Young people, I've got to speak to you. Do you want to see God in your life? You know, parents, I'm one too. Kids want, I believe, more than anything is reality. They just can't, they can't go on with just a tradition. It's got to be reality, something that's real. They need it. I need it. Do you want to see God in your life? You want to see Him work? I've seen God work. I haven't physically seen Him, but oh, I've physically seen Him. Do you know what I'm saying? I have seen Him work. I've seen Him work in my heart. I've seen Him work in my kids' hearts. I've seen Him work in answer prayer. I've seen Him work. How do we see God? Blessed are the pure in heart. For they will see God. Oh, I say. You know, when I read it, you know, I memorized that. Who has made, or it says, you know, who has made his heart pure? I can't make my heart pure, pure from sin. No, that's not really what it's talking about. Katharos is the word pure. It means without admixture. It's not mixed. You know how the Shema continues? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. You know, it's interesting to me, and we won't go into this, but God let us make man in our image, right? And how does He make us? He makes us one in three, doesn't He? We all understand we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your spirit, with all your soul, with all your might, all your strength, all your body. Then you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with how much of your heart? You want to see God? And you've got to seek Him with all your heart. I got here a cooler here. We want to talk about what pure is, alright? So, pure is without mixture, not mixed, alright? So I brought some Sunny D. This pure orange juice? No. You know, it says it's really pretty big letters here, 100%. Vitamin C. 100%. Tangy original. Sunny D. Is this pure? Let's read. You ever wonder why Sunny D tastes slippery? I found out yesterday when I went to the store and bought this stuff. It contains water, corn syrup, and 2% or less of each of the following fruit juices. Orange, tangerine, apple, lime, grapefruit, pear. Citric acid, ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C. They put that in there. Thiamine, hydrochloride, vitamin B1, natural flavors, modified cornstarch, canola oil. That's how it's all slippery. They got canola oil in here. Sodium citrate, cellulose, gum, sucralose, acesulfame, potassium neotamine, sodium hexametaphosphate, potassium sorbate to protect flavor. Yellow 5 and yellow 6. Is that pure? No. Yo, that's about as fake as you can get. The only thing similar to orange juice is the color. And it's got less than 2% of maybe orange juice in it. Alright? This is mixed, right? How about this one here? Oh, come on, you like this stuff. Emergency, right? 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Dude, you'd have to eat like 20 oranges to get the same vitamin C in this one packet. You can pour it in a glass, stir it up, and drink it down. Is this pure? This stuff doesn't even taste like orange. It's actually raspberry. It tastes like raspberry. But it has vitamin C in it, right? Emergency. Great things drop. Oranges, they go on. Is this pure? See, if we come to God and we're doing the part, you know, we're going to church, and we maybe carry our Bible around and we know the right words, we got the right look, I'm telling you, you won't see God that way. This is elitism. All through the New Testament church. Oh, you have Jesus? We have Jesus too, but we also have this. Whether that's what is worn, what is said, what tradition is held, You won't see God if you have an elitist heart. Well, you got Christ, but you've got extra. You're special, and we really have it, right? Guard your heart against that if you want to see God. Then we got good old Orchard, 100% juice. All natural, no sugar added. But is this really pure? Even this. Because you got to mix it with water. And my water and your water probably isn't the same. Who knows what kind of water you're going to put in there? What's in your glass? Right? And did you mix it to the right amount? Contains 100% juice when properly reconstituted. What is properly reconstituted? Alright? Is that pure? And you think that I'm going to do a little infomercial right now for Tropicana Pure Premium, right? Because that's like the best tasting, at least on the, you know, in a carton? No. That's pure orange juice. Because even the Tropicana Pure Premium, with calcium, with pulp, Grove Stand, you know, no pulp, extra pulp. Even it isn't pure. If you want to see God in your life, you've got to be without mixture. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about your own agenda. How you want him to come across to you. Your own imaginations. Sometimes we imagine we want to see God that will allow us to hold on to this area in our life. Sometimes we want to see him a certain way. And you will probably see him, but it will be an idol. It will be an image. You know, Jesus, it's interesting. Jesus, he talked about traditions. What did he say? He said, you make the word of God none effect by your traditions. Traditions are wonderful and they're good. Be careful. None effect. What does that mean? The word of God of none effect. That's what Jesus said. None. How does the word of God affect you? It changes you. See, God doesn't want you to just be a new creature and then stop there. He wants to keep speaking his words of life into you. And when they come to you, it changes who you are. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. You receive him by hearing. A lot of times we say, well, we receive him when we pray a prayer. No, you receive him when you heard. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And then you responded, of course. But it began with he just spoke to you. And that's how we continue to walk into him, walk with him. And that's how he continues to develop. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I think about when you were here. And they were obedient and they did your hard works. And they left. Except for your close view. And you said, will you go also? Peter said, where will we go? You have the words of life. Lord, I pray that would be, that is my cry as well. Lord, where can I go? You have the words of life. Lord, I ask that you will speak into us, Lord, daily. We have all these contraptions, and our society is noisier and noisier and noisier. We have to play radios and iPods, and there's Bible apps that will, we can just listen to you.
Why not? I would let your word sink down in our hearts and continue creating in us, continue changing our lives. I thank you, Lord, for these dear brothers and sisters. Lord, you know I love them. I love them. And Lord, you love them. And I ask you, God, that you just encourage them. Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would uphold them with your mighty right arm. And Lord, we look into your perfect law of liberty and we walk away a different person on a daily basis. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.